Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
We have a man shot multiple times just after he just walked out the front door of his home. This is in the Philadelphia's Frankford section. Police say these two suspects walked up to this man, 5300 block of Lesher Street, opening fire, then ran away. The victim, identified only as a 38-year-old man, rushed to the hospital right now. He is in critical condition. So we're following that story for you. And we want to update you. There's a ton of reaction. This story making, unfortunately, international news. The mass shooting that happened in Philadelphia's Fairmount Park late Monday night, of course, Memorial Day, as many families, and there were parades and community parades, a beautiful day weather-wise, but two people dead, nine others wounded, some of them still seriously injured in the hospital after that mass shooting. A ton of reaction. Mayor Parker speaking out with a fiery, passionate speech. We know the victims include an adult man, an adult woman, and we now know their names. 23-year-old Amya Devlin, 21-year-old Mikhail Bowers. Those victims, the other victims wounded and recovering in the hospital, they range in ages from 15 to 28 years old. Now, although some of their conditions are serious, all of those other surviving victims, the other nine, they are listed this morning in stable condition at area hospitals. So it started about 10:30 Monday night, Memorial Day night, Lemon Hill Drive, at Poplar Drive. If you were in and around that area, it was shut down much of the day yesterday because that was an active homicide, scene, if you will. So Mayor Sherelle Parker speaking out, holding that news conference yesterday. It was about noontime because Dom Giordano was just coming on. And she said they are believed to be three shooters involved. So we were getting more information. Officers were covering nearly two dozen shell casings showing three different weapons that were used as they opened fire on this group of individuals. There had been a huge gathering there, a barbecue, cookouts, and that sort of thing. Commissioner Bethel saying that the investigators are also confident that at least one of those weapons used in the shooting had a device known as a switch on it, which allows something that's semi-automatic as a weapon to become fully automatic. And those, we've heard of them as a bump switch, whatever mm-hmm. you want to call it, sometimes homemade.
Yep.
Sometimes you can buy them. That has been in the news. But in any event, they're still searching for the three gunmen. And this as Philadelphia police officials talking about increasing safety, over major public events like this one planned. And you think of what's coming up, our 250th anniversary, the nation's birthday, the FIFA Fan Festival that will be held at this spot next year.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
the World Cup.
Yeah, you're correct.
We have a little bit of Tracy Morgan. I mean, Sherelle Parker.
Stop.
If you look at the video, tell me that's
not true. Dude, I've been saying that for 2 years.
I know you have. I mean, just look at this. Play a little bit of the mayor, please.
This is a heinous act of violence that was inhumane. No regard
I'm gonna get you pregnant.
For life. We will, in this city of Philadelphia, be unapologetic about making sure that the public health and safety of our city and the people in our city is our number one priority. When you hear me say no excuses, I don't want anyone to tell me that what occurred in a place and space where families gather on a regular basis to fellowship, people in neighborhoods gather. We will not be held hostage by anyone who decides that they want to get assault-like, war-like weaponry, guns with switches. hear the law enforcement officials, our police department, they're listening to video and they're listening to the shots being fired. And it's clear, you know, that it's not a handgun. We talk a lot about controlling the flow of illegal handguns, you know, across the nation, in the Commonwealth, and in our city. But this was war time ammunition.
There you go.
So I know we'll never get a description of the suspects, even if they have one, but do we even know a motive? I mean, for you to show up in a public park with essentially an automatic weapon, I mean, that's not a random occurrence, right? Like, that has to be a targeted attack on people, I would assume.
Yeah, and three of them.
Right.
Not, you know, you could say, well, was this some kind of a domestic or an argument among two people? But to have, they think, three different shooters just open fire. Sounds like they opened fire on a crowd, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
11 people in all shot. And were the ones who were killed, were they the intended targets? That's another question out of this. So, you know, we just don't have the answers. They put out the word. They're still searching for these individuals. And like you're saying, we really don't have pictures, surveillance images, suspect descriptions, nothing such as that. But there is, you know, like I said, with FIFA's fan festival coming to take place right at this spot on Lemon Hill for next year's World Cup, Roots Picnic is also this upcoming weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
At the Mann Center.
I'm sure there'll be no issues there.
So, well, Roots. I mean, so here's the thing. Police Commissioner Kevin Bethel speaking out about saying that they're taking a new look at this,
yes.
And they're beefing up patrols. Good. So I think you can expect beefed up police patrols. But remember, we talked yesterday, there were police present. You know, these people had the proper permits, all of that, for the celebration Memorial Day. So there were police there, but now they're going to beef up the police.
Well, that's the problem. People aren't scared of the cops. Mm-hmm. They're just not. They're just not.
Well, what constitutes police presence? A cop cruiser sitting on the corner? Just you know, hey, there's a police vehicle here. That should be a deterrent, right? And I'm not saying we need to have 17 armed officers walking through Fairmount Park, but, you know.
I don't know, Nick. I think that, you know, when you go to New York and they have the SWAT team, basically, that keeps the subways safe in the post 9/11, they look like SWAT.
This year, sadly,
maybe that's what
to.
We need. I, yeah. mean, I hate to say it, but
what we actually need to do is just like I do with my 4-year-old, start taking privileges away from them. So, okay, we can't gather at Fairmount Park to have a picnic. No more picnics for you. We can't do this. Well, no more this for you. How about a curfew? How about this? You know what I mean? Just start treating them like the children that they are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think the public should be punished for few bad apples
then police,
that are out there.
Then police your own. Then police your neighborhoods. Sorry.
Well, how many officers short are they still, Dawn? 12, 1,300?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
stuck between a rock and a hard place, right?
Yeah. I know that you, we'll talk about education locally. Just a note here. That the Centennial School District did vote last night, a close vote, 5-4. The board voted in favor of their new superintendent amid the controversy that's swirling around him, if you will. This is Dr. Abram Lukaba. He will now lead the Centennial School District. You remember that he was the former superintendent of the Central Buck School District. That was the one where the board was Republican, then they switched to a very left progressive board in this one. Lukaba, there were people who said he was anti-LGBTQ+, and he was pro-book ban. He had spoken out and had, you know, they had public hearings on this, and he had told the community the past board that he was part of it, or he was a superintendent, they had passed all of that to try to kind of get politics out of the classroom. He did not pass those past policies that happened in Central Bucks. So in this one, it was a vote of confidence, as they said, you know, they're getting a high quality superintendent. And he was very well liked. You may remember that he was the one who, in many instances, there was an accused pedophile that police didn't have enough on. He had hired that private security to investigate. And sure enough, they found further evidence that he, and that was thanks one and only to Abe Lukaba when he was at Central Bucks. And then that individual who was extracted from an environment with children in Central Bucks. In fact, then the DA did, in fact, secure a conviction against that person.
Centennial School District is Bucks County, Montgomery?
And so this is still...
still Bucks?
This is still Bucks okay. County. So in Centennial, but... There were a lot of people there and they were voicing their concerns, claiming that he's pro book ban, which he says he's not at all. And they were claiming that he's quote unquote anti-LGBTQ+. You remember that past Central Bucks school district, because there was so much, you know, politics with everything. They had said that kids could wear bracelets or jewelry if they wanted to express whatever political beliefs, but they were trying to take sort of politics out of the classroom, but that was a board decision. So that was the back and forth. Just wanted to update you on that one local, you know, school issue. And then, of course, one of the headliners that broke yesterday that, in fact, is making news this morning, that was the HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. sharing that video on social media on X yesterday, announcing that the CDC has removed these vaccines, COVID-19 vaccines, that are no longer recommended for healthy children or pregnant women.
We have this video, if you want to roll it, Phil.
Hi, everybody. I'm Robert F. Kennedy Jr., your HHS Secretary, and I'm here today with NIH Director Dr. Jay Bhattacharya and FDA Commissioner Dr. Marty McCarry. I couldn't be more pleased to announce that as of today, the COVID vaccine for healthy children and healthy pregnant women has been removed from the CDC recommended immunization schedule. Last year, the Biden administration urged healthy children to get yet another COVID shot despite the lack of any clinical data to support the repeat booster strategy in children.
That ends today. It's common sense and it's good science.
There's no evidence healthy kids need it today, and most countries have stopped recommending it for children.
We're now one step closer to realizing President Trump's promise to make America healthy again.
It's like the worst boy band ever.
Hi, everybody. Yeah, your friend Bobby here.
It's funny to hear him talk about how unhealthy we are as he's sitting there going like this. It's like okay, all right, dude.
Yeah.
Talk to us about health.
He's I saw CBS Mornings. They were kind of putting this in the wrong light, saying that they are now no longer – you're no longer able to get it. Now, you can still get it. Anybody that wants the booster can still get it. It's just no longer recommended by HHS. That is just their position on it. They're not mandating it. They're not blocking you from get it. CBS Mornings with Gail King and Nate Burleson had one of their CBS News medical correspondents on, and they were framing it like it was just blackballed. It's not the case.
Not the case. But I will say this, local media, like you're saying this morning, they're playing this up. And you're exactly right. The concern, the one thing they say is that it could affect how insurance companies cover it.
Yeah.
So that's the only piece of this. But I believe that when you, for example, get a flu shot, whether they recommend it or not, it's generally speaking covered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sure you could still roll into your Walgreens or CVS and get it. You know, you're 65 or older, go ahead, get it. If you're a fatso, go ahead, get it. If you have comorbidities, go ahead, get it. It's just, you know, pregnant women, young children, those in the middle of their life.
And thanks for saying pregnant women, not pregnant people.
Well, pregnant people's not a thing.
Thank you.
I don't acknowledge that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
By the way, I was looking this morning for comment from Pfizer or Moderna, any kind of a reaction to this latest CDC announcement. Remember, previously, the CDC had made all of these recommendations that everyone, ages babies from 6 months old and up, that everyone get that routine COVID vaccine or booster, as it were. So what's the reaction from Pfizer, from Moderna? I don't really see the reaction this morning. I imagine, you know, we'll get reaction for sure.
I'll set the over-under at 1:30 p.m. before Fauci's doing a media hit today. What do you think? Over-under 1:30 this afternoon.
I love it.
Get your booster.
During the Dom show.
The booster is safe.
Our Phillies, well, speaking of safe, we're going to get an update on Bryce Harper.
Oh, God, I watched that live.
Oh,
I was so angry.
Gosh.
I was so angry.
Yeah, I think we have the video. Phil, roll it.
For Harper, 8 home runs, 33 runs batted in.
Oh, Jesus.
No padding.
Man.
No padding. Oh. I was so mad because I sat down literally at 6:45 as the game started, and Ronald Acuna was up for the Braves. He's got more body armor on than RoboCop. Hey, but it's unbelievable. And then Bryce Harper, the very next inning, goes up for his first at-bat. And that's the surgically repaired elbow, by the way.
Yeah.
And he gets plunked 95 miles an hour. Right on the bone.
Well, it's not...
His elbow.
Yeah, it's not broken, right?
It's bruised, they said.
Yeah.
But they're awaiting more tests on it today. We still beat the Braves, or Philadelphia Phillies... Tony Bruno's coming up, so he's going to go, don't say we.
That's right.
Philadelphia Phillies beat the Braves.
Did
I did nothing. I know nothing. 2-0 against the Braves, and then back in the rain, 6:45 this evening. Kale and Company News Live, as I say, sponsored by Kitchen Magic, as we hope Bryce Harper and his elbow are okay this rainy, dreary day. So Nick Kale with your forecast in just a moment. But looking to remodel your kitchen? At Kitchen Magic, their products are made right in Nazareth, Pennsylvania. So tariff delays, anything such as that, they're never going to impact you. They're family-owned. They're local, American-made. And this month, this May, you save a whopping 30%. Do this. Visit KitchenMagic.com today. Thank you, Kitchen Magic, for sponsoring First Edition, Kale & Company News Live. Nick Kale, I can't wait for this dreary weather. It does feel like March, as you said.
It does. Ugh. It does, Dawn. 54 degrees currently right now. Expecting showers all day. It's only going to go up to 58, but the rest of the week looks solid. Mid to high 70s. Chance of a shower coming on Saturday, but only a 34% chance. Philly weather brought to you by MTRuhl.com. Your Generac generator experts. That's MTRuhl.com. Coming up next, a Wednesday big take here on Kale & Company. Nick, Dawn, and Greg. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app. The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Brought to you by First Bank. The Big Take. Free speech is all the rage. Taxpayer-funded media with NPR and PBS. Student visa programs with Harvard University. And all colleges with foreign students both made massive headlines on Tuesday with the Trump administration, and both involve speech and the First Amendment, or lack thereof, when it pertains to the protection of speech. Left-wing media such as USA Today claiming that banning students from other countries falls into Trump's immigration crackdown. I totally disagree with that. But we begin with the lawsuit filed against the Trump administration by NPR. Here was the breaking news yesterday from Newsmax. Listen and watch.
NPR is suing the Trump administration. What's this is about? Well, it's over the president's executive order purportedly barring the use of congressionally appropriated funds for NPR and PBS. The lawsuit filed in federal court in Washington by NPR and other public radio organizations, including Colorado Public Radio and Aspen Public Radio, says the president's order violated the Constitution and the First Amendment's protections for freedom of speech. No public events on the schedule for the president today. We're reaching out to the White House regarding this lawsuit. It will be interesting to see what their response is.
Some other details. The lawsuit states, quote, "It is not always obvious when the government has acted with a retaliatory purpose in violation of the First Amendment, but this wolf comes as a wolf. The executive order is a clear violation of the Constitution and the First Amendment's protections for freedom of speech and association and freedom of the press." That is from Catherine Marr, president and CEO of NPR. The lawsuit describes Trump's order as textbook retaliation. Let me make this crystal clear. In my opinion, it is unfathomable that NPR believes that they are entitled to your tax dollars, to my tax dollars. They do not deserve a penny from us. Go out in the marketplace of content and generating ad revenue. Go earn a sale, sign a contract, put an ad campaign together, and try delivering results for said business. NPR absolutely has a right to free speech. It doesn't have a right to Americans' tax dollars that fund their operation. Point blank, period. Yesterday on Capitol Hill, the Heritage Foundation was present as testimony took place between Republican Rep. Eric Burleson of Missouri and Mike Gonzalez of the Heritage Foundation. Listen and watch this.
It was said that we're attacking free speech. This is state-sponsored speech. And the very reason why we have have, you know, these witnesses before us today isn't because they're totally being funded or completely being funded. We're not bringing in Disney Channel in here, right? We're not bringing in National Geographic, right, for their content. The reason why we're having this conversation is because we are funding you, and because we're funding you, the taxpayers get to have an opportunity to ask, why are we funding some of this content that they might disagree with?
Right? Yeah, no, completely. That's completely right. In fact, I think that PBS and NPR, but especially PBS, will thrive on the membership model. They keep saying it's such a small percentage. Well, if it's the public funding, if it's such a small percentage, then no problem.
I have no problem with PBS and NPR with their harmless children's education and their goofy programs for toddlers that entertain them and distract them. My beef with them is the left-wing political slant on their news coverage that is once again funded by us. Headlines such as these. Phil, please post these graphics of NPR. Here's a couple of screenshots. This headline from October 22nd, 2020, just 2 weeks before the election of 5 years ago. Quote, why haven't you seen any stories from NPR about the New York Post's Hunter Biden laptop story? Answer, we don't want to waste our time on stories that are really not stories. And we don't want to waste the listeners' and readers' time on stories that are just pure distractions, end quote. That was the quote from Terrence Samuels, NPR's managing editor for news. The temerity of this guy. How about this headline from NPR? Trump ambushes South African president with false claims of white genocide. That was 1 week ago today. Look, it's one thing if MSNBC does this or CNN does it. Sure, it's propaganda, but it's privately funded propaganda. And the gall of the chief of PBS in her response to Katie Couric in a recent interview on the bias of their political coverage. Listen and watch this.
Always when people say we see bias in your programs, and by the way, we get that on both sides. You know, I get as many calls from people on the more progressive side as on the conservative side that have issues every night with every night's broadcast. You know, I see this or I see that.
With
sometimes
news
I wonder
hour,
if they're even watching the same program.
As yeah. Like,
but I do think that... you know, I always want specifics and examples. So give me an example. So you've given two.
I'd love to see and hear the specific examples of where progressives are complaining about right-wing coverage from PBS or NPR. I'd be willing to bet it doesn't exist. Now we pivot to Harvard, student visas, and the Trump administration's crackdown across the country on campuses. And thank God they're doing this. News coming down yesterday that Trump will cancel all remaining federal contracts with Harvard worth up to $100 million. Last week, Trump and DHS Secretary Kristi Noem pulled Harvard's permission to enroll international students or host foreign researchers. And just a few days ago, Trump said this. Listen and watch.
Look, part of the problem with Harvard is that there are about 31%, almost 31% of foreigners coming to Harvard. We give them billions of dollars, which is ridiculous. We do grants, which we're probably not going to be doing much grants anymore to Harvard. But they're 31%, but they refuse to tell us who the people are. We want to know who the people. Now, a lot of the foreign students we wouldn't have a problem with. I'm not going to have a problem with foreign students, but it shouldn't be 31%. It's too much because we have Americans that want to go there and to other places, and they can't go there because you have 31% foreign. Now, no foreign government contributes money to Harvard. We do. So why are they doing so many? Number one. Number two, we want a list of those foreign students, and we'll find out whether or not they're okay. Many will be okay, I assume. And I assume with Harvard, many will be bad. And then the other thing is they're very anti-Semitic. Everybody knows they're anti-Semitic, and that's got to stop immediately.
He told you this was coming. He's doing exactly what he said he would. This isn't about foreign students. It's about the America First agenda. It's about merit-based admissions. And also, it is about anti-Semitism. And if it has to go all the way to SCOTUS, well, then you know what? Supreme Court, buckle up. Start canceling some summer vacations. Your session isn't going to end in June. So be it. But it's well past time to give these Ivy League think tanks a jolt of reality from their little academic bubbles and cocoons that they live in. And now we're going to enter a new specialized DOJ task force headed up by Leo Terrell of Fox News, because as we know, the path to the White House apparently runs through Fox News. But in all seriousness, I love Leo Terrell. He's a true FAFO kind of guy. Here's what he had to say about this. Listen and watch.
Not in my lifetime. How do we get here? Because we have tolerated. We have tolerated anti-Semitism for the last 4 years. And basically the Trump administration, and thank goodness President Trump is in office, Harris, he's not going to tolerate it. He's going to eliminate it. That's why I'm in this role right now. That's why Pam Bondi's the attorney general. And Harmeet Dillon is the civil rights head.
Leo, how big is the fight, though, legally? Every time President Trump and the Trump administration take a push, now they want to see a full list of foreign students, since 27% of Harvard University's campus comes from different countries, those students. And now a judge has temporarily blocked the right to see that list, the case on hold until this Thursday.
Trump is going nowhere. We're going to have to match them in court, Harris. This is going to be a battle in the courtroom. If it goes all the way to the Supreme Court, Trump is going to do that. That's why the Department of Justice, that's why the task force is here. 4 years ago, nothing happened. But we're going to have to file these lawsuits. We're going to have to take the money away. I want to destroy this myth by that president. Coming to school here on a student visa is a privilege.
Yes.
And he conflated the idea that somehow academic freedom, this is not academic freedom, this is anti-Semitism in its purest, most hatred form, and it's being tolerated not only on universities, but throughout the country.
It's time to rock the worlds of these globalized, the Intifada, Fugazi crusaders that have been roaming around college campuses, terrorizing students while they conceal their identities with masks. Harvard doesn't deserve a dime of our money. PBS and NPR doesn't deserve a dime of our money. And I, for one, hope that Leo Terrell, Pam Bondi, Harmeet Dillon emerge victorious in the courts. The same with Brendan Carr of the FCC when it comes to taking on PBS and NPR. No more state-run media, no more anti-Semitism. I'm 100% on board with 47 on both of these ventures, and I'm assuming you are as well. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Which is brought to you by First Bank. If you're ready to drive your business and have success with a trusted local partner, then count on First Bank for personalized support and smart solutions to help your business grow. First Bank, your trusted local partner for success. Visit myfirstbank.com to learn more. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. 855-839-1210, the phone number. On social media, you can reach us on X at 1210WPHT. And, of course, let it rip in the YouTube chat. Dawn, your takeaways on whether it's Harvard or NPR and PBS?
Well, as far as Harvard, and I know that the report this morning and last night, as these protesters by the hundreds, they said, were protesting outside Harvard. So they're protesting the funding cuts, $100 million. That's the latest one. I simply think that when you think about all of the anti-Semitism that we've had and that has been on these campuses, I think at the end of the day, it's incredible to me that these universities, such as Harvard, that they don't say, well, let's take a look within. Let's be humble. What is going on with the anti-Semitism? And you don't even hear that or a conversation about it. And that's what bothers me, the doubling down of this.
So you're stunned that it's gone on almost really 2 years.
Yeah.
We're approaching a 2-year anniversary.
And in the wake of what just happened with this beautiful young couple just last week, gunned down, as we learn, this, you know, deranged, indoctrinated individual had all the privileges from Chicago of higher education and had this hatred for a young couple, Jewish couple that he didn't even know. And I know that they're saying, well, one of them, Yarab, was a Christian. Well, he's called a completed Jew. In other words, a Jewish person who then believes Jesus is the Messiah. There's another name for it, but I'm simplifying it. But in essence, he waited for somebody to come out of, allegedly, you know, this Jewish gathering and open fire on them. And even as Sarah was crawling away, is still shooting at her. I mean, in the wake of that and that level of anti-Semitism by somebody, you know, who was one of these young, apparently indoctrinated individuals, mm-hmm. who believes that the Jews are evil or something. I mean, my God, if you're in higher education, why not just get together, have a convention about this and say, yeah. Hey, what's going on? What's so What is so irresponsible about that? And bothers me.
They would not allow this speech geared and aimed at any other community on campus, right? Would they allow any sort of speech towards African Americans? No. Would they allow any sort of speech towards the LGBTQ community? No. What about the Asian community? What about the Latino community? But for some reason, when it happens to the Jews, it's protected speech. Makes no sense to me. Jonathan Turley had a great article yesterday for The Hill, and it was on his X feed as well on the NPR PBS aspect. He does not understand where those two broadcast networks are coming from, and he's in agreement, or I guess maybe I'm in agreement with him. He's the scholar, after all. But this is not about free speech. Nobody is saying that PBS and NPR cannot have their political coverage slanted in any direction they would like on top of whatever educational programming and entertainment they do for kids. What we are saying here is that we are going to defund them. Our tax dollars are not going to go to them anymore. And Catherine Marr, a stalker, sent the clip to me last night of Katie Couric interviewing her. And I think she said it there in that clip where she says, oh, I get complaints from progressives as well that, you know, our coverage is too right leaning. That's a load of crap. There has never been anything right leaning, right of center from PBS or NPR that I can recall in the last 5, 7, 8 years. And let me ask you this. When we talk about all of this state run media, does our tax dollars go to Fox News? No. Does our tax dollars go to Newsmax? Do our tax dollars go to 1210 WPHD? Do our tax dollars go to Rumble, X, or anywhere else you can get right of center commentary? No. So I don't understand how this is a free speech argument. I actually think the Supreme Court's going to actually laugh at PBS and NPR. Unless there's some law, I think it was the PCB, the Public Broadcasting Corporation, 1967, when this whole thing was created. Unless there's some literature in whatever documents were drafted when this was created to allow like networks like PBS and NPR to exist, I don't see how they win this case. How can they? Nobody is saying, again, this is like the same thing that they're arguing when Trump banned the AP from the Oval Office. It's not a free speech. This was not about free speech. It's about certain access. And oh, by the way, there are plenty of mainstream media outlets that still ask Trump and his administration questions. It's about a more balanced, accurate representation of the media ecosphere, in my opinion, where we're not just going to have the Washington Post, the New York Times, the Inquirer, CNN and MSNBC in there. I don't care if you like Breitbart or not, or some of these other outlets that have been given access, but it's time that they get a year and a half in there to get somebody to represent their platform to ask some questions. I'm just looking for a semblance of balance here. Do you see anything with PBS or NPR where they can win this? I don't see it as free speech. I see it as about dollars and cents.
Yeah, and I was looking up Sesame Street because you think of all the licensing.
Yeah.
And so the profits for example, just Sesame Workshop generating $271 million in revenue. That was 2022. 2023, nearly $187 million in total revenue. So Sesame Street is a profitable venture. And so to me, I don't know if I told you guys, they were going door to door in our neighborhood in Chestnut Hill.
I'm sure Sesame Street could survive on its own generating revenue,
yeah.
Right?
So I think that they could. I mean, they already get sponsors. So yeah. They do compete radio and television. They get sponsors. Plus, they get the government money, so they compete against those, and it's unfair. But I would say they could be profitable. But they were literally going door to door with a clipboard. They
had
ladies like with clipboards going, NPR, we need the funding, and they go out, they get donations and whatnot. But I would submit to you, they can still survive on their own. They don't. They keep testifying. Oh, we don't. As you played that soundbite. They keep saying, well, it's only a little bit. Well, then why do you need it?
Yeah, if it's only a little bit, then it shouldn't be that big of an issue. I agree. 855-839-1210. We'll come back, wrap up the 6 o'clock hour. Gavin Newsom in the state of California do a quick 180. What's it mean? We'll tell you next here on Kale & Company.
This is the Kale & Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
It was Mike Gonzalez of the Heritage Foundation in that clip I played with the Republican from Missouri where they were talking about the subscription-based model. If to me,
yes.
If PBR and NPS, and you, everybody here on this show has children.
PBR and NPS.
Oh yeah, Pabst Blue Ribbon, those and Bush Pounders and yeah. Natural Light. But if PBS and NPR believe that there is a market for their content and it's in demand,
agreed.
I would assume that parents that value the educational programming, and again, I'm separating their news division. Like when I gave you those screenshots of, well, we're not going to cover the Hunter Biden laptop story because we don't think it's actually a relative story. It's a distraction. I'm talking about like Big Bird and, you know, Sesame Street and educational things like how to count and reading. I don't know if, remember, was reading Rainbow? Remember LeVar Burton?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Was
yes.
that PBS?
Yes.
Okay. So all that stuff, I have no problem with any of that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a parent and you think that's good for your kids and, you know, it teaches them, it distracts them, it gives you 30 minutes to get caught up, whatever, I'm all for it. I would imagine in this day and age of a la carte purchases that we make, Disney Plus, Hulu, Netflix,
yes.
Peacock, Amazon Prime, you would have no problem paying $4.99 a month for it.
That's been my argument this entire time. Not about their bias. We all know they're coming from a certain angle at that. It's the fact that they can compete in a world that we all compete in. It's just that they choose not to because, you know, they're getting fat off the public dime.
Well, so I'm glad you say that because I think Dawn mentioned this months ago, the first couple of times we talked about this story. Wasn't the head of the news division for NPR radio making $500,000 or $600,000 a year? Or maybe there was the head of television programming for PBS. Some of these executives that run these networks are just living like kings off of our tax dollars.
Well, to Greg, you're right. They were, you know, all of these executives. I was looking up all of their assets, more than $500 million in assets. But so Greg's, as far as your point about the lawsuit, at the end of the day, Trump, yes, he signed the executive order, but that has to do with the parent company, Corporation for Public Broadcasting. They're the ones that get the funds, right? And then they distribute them to all these well over 1,000 radio and TV stations, PBS, to your point.
Let's get some PBRs in
PBS,
here right now.
Yeah, PBS and NPR. But what Trump has also requested is for Congress to defund that parent corporation, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. They're the parent one that then distributes the funds. So that's where this ends up. If Congress defunds them, then there's no lawsuit.
Like
it's a done deal. It's
willing to bet this falls on party lines with a vote.
Of course, because this is so you can talk about the public can talk about all of, well, these are congressional appropriated dollars. But now if Congress rescinds that and defunds them, it's a done deal. Then the lawsuit's DOA.
855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, Tony Bruno, less than an hour from now for another edition of What's on the Cut Sheet. We've got some great stories today. I want to get to Trump and Gavin Newsom. We also have this Gen Z Adulting 101 story, courtesy of the New York Post. And then also, maybe if we have a few minutes after the news before we take our next break, I got to get into this obsession with graduation. I received 3 emails yesterday alone from the Wissahickon School District on graduations. And I'm just wondering if we're going overboard with kids' graduations. We have to have this conversation a little bit later as well. Hour 2 is next on Kale & Company. Stay right there.
Start your day with Kale & Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.